Hello, and welcome to the School of Attraction podcast. I'm Damien Deeker, and I'll be talking to you about a range of topics from dating, attraction, masculinity, sexuality, life philosophy, and much, much more. So, without any further ado, let's get started. I hope you enjoy listening to today's podcast just as much as I've enjoyed creating it.
Hey everyone, it's Damien here again. And today we're going to be talking about a topic that is very dear to my heart and very dear to my guest's heart as well. We have with us today Kirsten Carney, who is a banter coach, and she's a comedian as well. And she works, she helps guys really specifically with building their ability to tease and banter and have fun in interactions, which I know a lot of you guys have heard me harping on about over and over and over again. And I do it because it's super important. And so I'm really excited to talk about this today with Kirsten. So Kirsten, welcome. Oh, Kristen, welcome.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be here.
So let's start with the your brief background. I mean, how did you get involved with the comedian stuff, but wanting to do that? Because obviously that's not an easy route to take for anyone. And then how did you then transition into helping the men with the banter? How did that all happen for you?
Well, the comedian stuff, that always kind of happens when you're bad at everything else. So that's, you know, to make a long story short, I could never see myself working a regular job. Every job I had, I would mess up, and it just was not going to be something in my future. I just knew it instinctually. Mm-hmm. But I was going to school for the creative side of advertising because I thought, well, I can be funny with writing funny commercials. And I went to school for that. And they actually made us take stand-up comedy classes, which, excuse me, I never would have done ever, you know, on my own. But they made us take those. And I said, screw this. Either get a job and go to work from 8 a.m. to 6:30, 7 p.m. and take it up the tailpipe every day, or just start doing stand-up. And little do you know, when you make that decision, you're actually really taking it up the tailpipe, because it's just a life of difficulties and struggling with money and, you know, hustling and all that stuff. So that's how I ended up there. And through stand-up comedy, years and years and years ago, I like to kind of semi-brag. My co-host currently, we've been doing a podcast for roughly almost 10 years now together. Mm-hmm. Through comedy, I wanted to get into podcasting. And this was right when podcasting was just becoming a thing. Mm-hmm. It was really before anyone really knew what it was. And I didn't want to just do a podcast that was just like, you know, pointlessly talking. I knew I needed a niche, or I needed it to have a subject matter. And so I met this girl who happened to be a dating coach or a relationship coach or whatever you want to call it. And I do those in air quotes and everything. But I thought, well, this would be a really good idea for a podcast. So we started a dating advice podcast show, which basically entailed me being the comedic sidekick and her giving the actual advice. And as I progressed within life, I did have a boyfriend at the time when I started the podcast. We were together for 8 years. So a lot of the podcast, I wasn't dating, you know, and I was really just there to kind of make commentary. I wasn't concerned with dating. I didn't care about dating. I was like, why are people so freaking concerned about dating? Just pick up someone from the street and move on, you know, like, and then when I broke up with my boyfriend and started dating, I was like, oh, I get it. It's a nightmare. It's a living, breathing nightmare. So dating apps had just come, you know, had come around. And so I was trying to meet men on dating apps, and they had no personality whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And as a comic, you're used to being around people with too much personality, where, you know, you want to turn the volume down on them a little bit. But the everyday guys had no volume whatsoever on their personality, you know? Mm-hmm. So I, on the podcast, started talking about how simple and easy it is to actually say something different to a woman you match with online. And I kept harping on it and harping on it. And my co-host Marnie finally said, why don't you write a how-to banter guide and I'll sell it on my website. And so I thought, sure, you know, she said she would pay me, of course. And I thought it would take maybe a weekend or a few days. It ended up taking me about 6 months. And I really put a lot of thought into it. And I was like, whoa, there's actually ways to structure it and teach techniques and have formulas. And it became much more of a science suddenly as I started writing about it. So once she started selling it, I started getting requests from some of the guys who had purchased the guide to have one-on-one lessons with me or one-on-one sessions with me. Mm. And at first I was like, I could write it. I don't know how to teach it. I'm not a teacher. How do you teach it? I don't know how to teach it. And Marnie said, listen, the guy's offering you $200. Just get on the phone with him and teach him. And I was like, okay. So I got on the phone and it was just so weird how it was so easy in a sense for me to articulate and communicate what it is that I wanted him to learn and understand. And it was literally the first guy I talked to was like, you're a really good teacher or you're a really good coach. And I would never, all I do is self-deprecate and insult myself. So this is not a normal thing for me to say I'm really good at something or, you know, something came naturally to me. It just really clicked and flowed. So that was about 5 years ago. And I've been doing it ever since.
Right.
So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, and so I think, I mean, when we talk about banter, let's start with the beginning stuff. I know that I've talked about why I see banter as having a very important role in dating. But why? I know it's always different for men to hear the message from a woman from the recipient of male banter stuff. What role do you see banter playing in meeting someone, especially the early days of dating? How do you see its role? Why do you see it as important? I'm guessing yes, because you do it for a living, but how do you see it fitting in? What's its purpose?
Its purpose is really to build a connection. And we're really starved for connection because of the way that we live, you know, with everything through the internet. But it's a connection beyond just, oh, you have something in common, you know, with me. We both like to ski. That's a coworker connection. That's something that, you know, someone you're talking to at the office, oh, you like to ski? Oh, that's interesting. I like to ski too. But the connection that banter builds is learning something about the person while creating chemistry with the person. So it's not an information exchange. It's a human exchange that really elevates something bland to something fun, you know, and women want to have fun with the guy that they're dating. And so if you're just having this flat conversation, for most women, it will feel flat and it will feel dull and it won't feel special. But banter makes it feel special. It's almost like conversation, but with a twinkle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And women like the twinkle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. The way I've always thought of it as a man, like I always think banter is almost like an invitation to play. You know, like when you see two little dogs and one dog goes and like goes down its hunches and leads down at the bottom in the air. Exactly. It's like, do you want to play? I often see banter as doing that. That's how
really
it feels
is.
To me. You know, yes. I go and like if I approach a woman in a bar, I can go, hey, I'm Damien. I wanted to come and say hello. How's your night going? Blah, 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 blah. That's fine. But if very early on it's fun, it's like me coming over going, you know, do you want to play?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's we want to play with people. And it also erodes, like, I guess, especially in the beginning, it feels like it destroys Stranger Danger feeling for both of you. Mm-hmm. You know, like it the second we laugh, some of that tension goes and it's like, okay, cool, you're one of us.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, you're our people.
Well, what it does is, like you said, it eliminates the Stranger Danger thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like talking to someone that you've known for a really long time. It gives you mm-hmm. that feeling. And most women, because, you know, there's so many women online and, you know, most of the guys are going for pretty much the same women, they have mm-hmm. their guard up, and banter helps them bring down the walls. So, mm-hmm. you know, women, you know, if you're walking down the street and you see a really pretty girl and she sees, and you decide to approach her and she sees you mm-hmm. coming, you immediately can feel her walls going up. She's like, oh God, I've got to deal with this person. Mm. You know, what? How am I going to get rid of this guy? Mm. Kind of walls. Mm. But when you go into it with banter, so with fun and playfulness, she doesn't really have time to put up her walls. She might have if she knew it was coming, but she didn't know it was coming. So you catch her off guard. You catch her in a more natural state.
Yeah.
Less protective.
That's true.
Right. And with the dog thing that you just said, I love that analogy. I've never used that before. I'm definitely stealing it from you and not giving you any credit whatsoever.
That's fine.
But you notice when dogs do that. So, you know, I have a dog, and when I take him to a dog park, one dog, like, he may be the aggressor. He may be the one who wants to play more. So he's going up to more dogs and doing the
Yeah.
And then that dog will either be like, not really feeling it. You know, like, I appreciate the attempt, but not for me. But then he goes up to the other dog or the next dog and he's like, And that dog's like, let's do this.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there's this, like, you know.
Oh, and it's so fun when the other person goes, let's do this. It's just like, oh, game on. A chick who wants to play. You're like, with the dog.
Yes.
But I think that's important. I think that's an important note. I mean, it might have normally come up later, but not everybody wants to play with you. Like, I'm talking about banter wise here, right? Like,
right.
And that's okay. But that also means it's okay to move on. You know what I mean? Like, banter is a really great tool, but it's not meant to work with work. It's not about making every woman like you. It's just.
Yeah. And the thing is that banter can take energy, especially even from me. So, you know, I essentially do this full time. And I also am online dating, or dating in general. And if a guy doesn't, I try to make it easy for the guys, but it's tricky from a woman's perspective, because men, you know, and men can disagree with me. I love men. I'm not like a man hater whatsoever. I'm not a feminist, essentially. Like, I kind of hate women in a way. We're really annoying. Yeah. We can be great, but we're also really annoying. Men are also annoying. I hate us both equally, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. But so this is not me ragging on men, but it is difficult as a female who is more playful in conversation and maybe quirky and used to being a comedian and having jokes and fun things to say. That is a difficult position, because men generally prefer to be the funny one and they prefer to lead in conversation, and they aren't always finding humor to be the most feminine quality. So for me, it's tricky, because what I want to do is I want to banter, and I want to make it easy for them to banter. So I used to start, if I opened or if I didn't open, I would give them something that would make it really easy to have a really great back and forth, like a ping pong match.
Yeah.
But then I learned to kind of pull that in a little bit, because you know, and I shouldn't, because that's really who I am. I shouldn't change who I am. Mm-hmm. But and I'm not going, you know, I'm not starting the conversation like, I'm a crazy woman, you know, like, where they're like, holy shit. It's just more like they're not used to it. So they sometimes can back away. Mm-hmm. The same thing can happen with a woman. If you're a man opening with a woman and you're starting to banter, you're beginning to banter. But there is a way to do it where you're not just like punching her in the face with this crazy banter right from the beginning.
Right.
You can ease into it. Mm-hmm. But so I've found in my conversations, there are certain guys that love it and can keep up. And those are the guys that I usually end up going on dates with. Mm-hmm. But if a guy seems hesitant, I just don't even try. Like I don't, maybe he can banter, maybe he wants to banter. But if there's even a small amount of hesitation, I have bantered so much through that day or through that week that I'm just like, I can't hold your hand through this. And so I have right now someone wrote to me, and I'm sure he's being somewhat silly, but I have in my profile that I'm a banter coach. And he said, what's a banter coach? And I have, of course, I expect for people to ask, what is a banter coach? The way I have it written is I just have like occupation, banter coach, yes, really, in parentheses next to it. So I do get a lot of what's a banter coach. That's the general opener that I get. This guy asked, and I responded, and I gave him kind of a serious answer. Mm-hmm. And then I said, and what is a blah, 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 like whatever his position was. Yeah. It was like operations at PPL. I don't know. And so I was going dry specifically because I wanted him to step up to the plate. Now, no pun intended, because he actually works in like sports management, like a baseball sports management or something. But he just literally answered dryly. And so I just then put my hands in the air and went, I'm not going to try with him.
Yeah.
So he said about 6 hours later, how am I doing with my banter? And I'm sure he meant that in a funny way, because there was absolutely zero banter, So maybe now because he said that, I'll be open to chatting with him. If he meant it in a funny way, if I find out he was literally actually asking, then I'm like, you're a nut job on match. Setting the expectation is really important, whether you're a man or a woman, but especially as the man, because the man is the one that usually will lead in banter, just like men used to lead in dance, back in the 1950s and 40s and when we had a polite society.
Yeah, it's interesting you're saying that men don't see humor or banter as being a feminine trait. Because I mean, to me, I genuinely like it when there's a lot of play, but you're right. You know what it is? I think it's like, I think it's actually similar to the guys. I shouldn't say guys. A lot of guys seem to be the struggle with women who are really smart because they feel like they need to be the smartest person. Like, I love it. Like, if I meet a woman who's got a brain on her and can challenge her, I'm like, God damn it. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
But, a lot of women are uncomfortable with it. I've even met women. Like, I was on a date one time with a woman, wouldn't tell me what she did for work. Right? I'm like, what's going on here? Turns out she's a surgeon and she just doesn't want to tell guys because the minute they find out, they get all strange about it. And I'm like,
yeah.
Wow.
See,
because to me, that's awesome. But you're right. Because I think that with banter is almost like it's like you're fighting, right? Imagine if you had a wrestle with a woman and she could beat you. Right. A lot of guys would struggle with that. Like, oh shit, I just got beaten in a fight by a woman. Right. But I think it's a little bit like that with banter because banter is a very intellectual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not really comfortable with your intellectual levels or how you want to put it, like I'd never feel intimidated by someone. I'd just be wowed by someone, but I'd never feel intimidated. Like I'd never. So that therefore it wouldn't bother me, but it makes sense. Actually, I think a lot of men, because it would feel like then you were bested by a woman. That's something that, it's a strange one. I've never thought about it in those terms before, but I get it. I get what you're saying. There are a lot more male comedians than female comedians. And that suggests as well that society has an expectation of some degree.
Right. Mm. And it's funny because the female surgeon and I've never had anything in common with women with those kind of smarts, but yet here we are crossing paths in a way in dating and difficulties in dating because our completely different intellect, but still intellect, does us harm sometimes. But you always hear as a young girl growing up, and I want to get to, of course, other things that you want to talk about and the how-tos and all that kind of stuff. But when you're a girl in high school or in college even, I don't know about these days, but when I was, it was like the girl who was kind of the tomboy who she was pretty, but she was a tomboy and she was funny and cool and could hang and she could watch sports. That was the girl that all the guys wanted. But as I, you know, have gotten older, it seems like the guy doesn't really want that girl. For the, in general, of what I'm seeing, they seem to really go for the feminine women. At least that's what is being portrayed on, I guess, Instagram, which is brainwashing me because you'll see, you know, this the perfect looking girl who has got soft tousled curls as the one getting married and not the girl that's kind of like the chill girl who's funny. You know, you just, you don't see those images. So, I mean, guys could like the girl that I mentioned, the sportier, tomboy, fun, playful, cute one. You just, I guess, don't see it as much.
It's not as safe on the internet. I think from I'm talking about the average guy, right? It's not as safe. And I think there's something to be said about that. Like, guys feel very unsafe. I think that's on the increase around dating.
Oh, it definitely is.
And I think that's why you, for example, see a lot more men with like, than you used to from like countries where it's much more conservative, like Korea, Thailand, things like this, China, where, you know, because the, you've still got that really slightly downtrodden wife in the kitchen vibe. Where that's very safe, you know what I mean, the standpoint of socially, like, relationship dynamics. I don't think it's as safe as guys think, because I know a lot of guys married to women like that, and it's turned out not great, because eventually the frustration catches up. But anyway, I won't, let's go into the how-to. I don't want to go too much into the interpersonal dynamics of gender difference, but it is a topic that I talk a lot about. It's a topic I'm very passionate about, actually. But we talked about, before we hopped on together and went live, we talked about who really most needed help with banter, right? What kind of guy? And one of the kinds of guys that I mentioned and you agreed with wholeheartedly was guys who really grew up in a house where there was no banter. See, I was lucky. I grew up in a house where my dad teased a lot. I don't mean the mean, cruel way, and I'm damaged. I mean, like, lots of games, lots of teasing, lots of playfulness.
And oh, my dad did lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was very lucky because I got to, I mean, even though I was still shy to do it with women when I started, I still had that reference point in my head. But a lot of guys don't have that, you know. No. That is very alien to them. And so then they feel like I'm not a funny person. Humor is not my thing. Or what's even worse is if they've decided it's not their thing and they'll say to me, well, I don't want to have to be a dancing monkey just to make women like me. That's another one, right? Why should I learn to make her laugh? Then I'm just an entertainer. Like, da 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 da.
Why should I make her have fun and enjoy herself? Why right. should I do that? That's really what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And so either of those two men who are really struggling with it. Actually, no, let's answer that second question first. Do you see it as a dancing monkey thing? As a woman? Because I've never felt like a dancing monkey. Because I'm entertaining me. Usually when I'm bantering, actually I want to entertain me, and if she laughs too, then she's a good one, but otherwise I'm gonna have fun.
I would mirror your answer. I personally love bantering. It's when I have the most fun. I have had one client in the past say, you know, he was a more contemplative person, very poetic, very slow, the way I'm speaking right now, very quiet and, you know, introverted and all of that. And he said, I feel like I'm having to put on a performance. And so that was the one time that I had someone say that, but we adjusted so that it wasn't a performance. So he was being himself. You can still be yourself and be charismatic or charming. So banter doesn't need to be funny and this big entertainment the entire time. Banter just needs to be someone that is pleasant to exchange words with. So if you shift it from banter, like you have to be a clown the whole time and you have to say jokes every second, to I just want to be fun and nice or and pleasant to converse with, you can shift that thinking. And so like the guys that I work with, one of the first things I say is I send them an email full of information. And one of the first lines that they read is what banter is not. And I say banter is not being funny and jokey 100% of the time. And then we talk about what banter is. So, yeah. So if a guy has that perspective on it, he's putting too much pressure on it to be this unnatural, forced back and forth, when it should be a natural, fun exchange of occasional witticisms and gotchas here and there. So, and plus, of course, there's levels. You know, if you want to be the fun, entertaining monkey, go for it. But the girl might go, okay, like, it's getting old. I get it. You're funny. What else you got? You know, like, so I teach within the banter to go places. So it's not like you're just stuck on the same road and you're being the same level the whole time. You want it to have ups and downs. So your ups, the really high moments, are your fun, clever moments where you say something really witty or you say something clever or funny. I don't love using the word funny, again, sometimes because it does put pressure on guys. And then your down moments, go to somewhere more authentic and real. So you're actually learning about her. And then you pop right back up again. So you've learned, you know, you learn something new about her, or the reason why she loves XYZ, or the reason, you know, this is why she chose this career. So you get that information, you connect emotionally. So it's like an emotional anchor. So it's like anchoring her to you in a way. And then you go somewhere funny with it. You know, so if it's the surgeon woman, you know, so it's like, why did you get into, you know, doing surgery? And I don't, you know, I don't know what she says, but then you say something like, well, I mean, it depends on if your style of humor is dark, but, you know, like something like, I know we're not, I know to like put the knives away or something like that if we're having a fight, something like that. You know, I'll end up with a second nose on my face, something, you know.
It's funny. I went with a Dr. Nick reference, like Dr. Nick from The Simpsons, and that was that was going to be my star coming in. But yeah, exactly. I got you.
So so it can be your own vibe, your own style. It does not have to be this one size fits all.
And I actually do think that's important. I think that regardless of your personality, or not regardless, very importantly related to your personality, you're not supposed to do banter the same way as other people. Like, it has to match your personality. Like just there, right? You enter the dark, I'll put the knives away, I'll end up with the second knife, or the second nose. That's good, right? That's great. But I in my head, I'm like instantly, like, was going to make a Dr. Nick joke about her, right? Like I don't know if you know Dr. Nick from The Simpsons, but, you know, the red thing's connected to the blue thing. the blue thing's connected to my wristwatch. Oh, crap. You know, that's kind of, it's a different thing, right? It's a totally different humor style.
But what you're, what you're doing there is the exact right thing. So what we both did, and so this is a technique of banter, or how to banter, a big part of it, is simply all it is making connections between one thing and another. So what you did was you connected surgeon with The Simpsons doctor. I connected surgeon with being, you know, like maimed. So it just is wherever your natural connection mechanism takes you, that's where the funny line is going to be. And those connections are, what's interesting is that they're connections that make sense, they fit, but they're a surprise. So the element of surprise is really what banter is. So you say something surprising, and that feeling of surprise is what makes it feel funny. You know, that, and that's or clever or witty. So it's much more simple than guys imagine it to be. they put a lot of weight on it. Like, oh, I've got to be super funny. I don't know how to be funny. I don't come from a funny family. My dad didn't pick on us or tease when we were little. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not me. But if you just break it down to its mechanics, it's really just a lot of connecting one thing with another in a surprising way. And then boom, you've got your fun line.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if you've, there's a, but you must have actually, if you did step, well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know how common things are, but there's a thing that people do in improv comedy where what they do is, I guess when they're practicing, is one of the exercises they do is they say, okay, well, what, this is a phone, but what else is it? Right. And you have to come up with alternative things that this could be. Does that sort of make sense? Yes. And you go, well, it's a paperweight. Well, I could wear it on my feet to avoid the cold floor. You know, you have to laterally think of all these alternative things that it could be. And it's a process that we do in our brain where we bring in really, it's almost like a Rorschach test. Tell me what you see, where you think, what reference pops into my head when I see this? Right.
Right.
And you use that reference. And that's really what, and that's sort of what I'm often teaching guys to do. Like if I look right now, I can see, you know, you're wearing a baseball cap, you've got your mic, you've got your, right. And then all I do is I go, well, the baseball cap, instantly there's a trucker, is the trucker joke that I can make. Right.
Right.
And then I'm like, well, you know, the mic is vaguely phallic shaped and it's pointed at your face. Is there a joke that I can make there?
Yeah.
But it's got a sound guard in the way. Like, you know, actually, it doesn't really hit in the face. Is it, you know, my brain goes to these really whatever randomness pops in. And then I go, well, how can I make a joke of it? Because it's the randomness that I think about first, often.
But you're so right. That's exactly how it works. So what I teach is to begin with is to observe. You can't really banter until you've observed. So, you know, if we just got on here right now and, you know, like for me, I'm observing you and you have this like brick wall behind you that looks like a creepy alleyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, so I would, you know, want to make jokes about how this, you know, looks like where I lost my virginity. And again, you know, I have dark humor. So that's like, that's where I would take it. But if I did not observe what your background was, I would have nothing fun or clever to say to you. So just like you did with me, you observed, I am wearing a hat. It's kind of like a trucker hat. I do have the very phallic mic, which is intentional because I like to make my podcast guests uncomfortable. But with the trucker thing, the hat, you can see a girl go up to her, you know, if I was wearing this at the bar, you could just be like, how did you manage to park a rig out front? Like, I don't, you know, like that must have taken some talent because that's a skinny street.
Yeah. I admire a girl who's willing to steal a hat from a trucker.
Right. And then that's your take on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, it's like people put it on this pedestal where it's like, no, it's so easy. Just observe, just look around, look at what she's wearing, look at the environment you're in, take in the environment you're in. Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it loud? Is it quiet? You know, if it's super loud in the, you know, you're sitting at the bar or you just walk up to the bar and it's really loud and the girl says, she's not saying anything to you. You just, literally, you're taking in the surroundings around you and you're using them to construct your banter, to start your banter. Right. And so if it's really loud and she's just standing, you know, she's waiting for her drink, you just go, what? Like, she didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And but you're saying it to her.
Yeah.
And it's because you observed the environment you were in and she'd be like, I didn't say anything. And you could either go one way or another with it. You could say, oh, I know I'm really handsome. Thank you for saying that. You know, like, and tease and, you know, play and take it down that fun road. That versus the guy who goes up and stands awkwardly next to her and says, you know, I saw you and thought, you know, you looked really pretty and I wanted to come say hi. That guy, he doesn't. Even though it's sweet and nice, it doesn't win because there's this, and I hate using this word because I feel like this word is kind of cringy, but like there's no alpha in there can be in the way you present it. If you walk up to a woman and you state your intentions, that can be alpha by saying you're beautiful. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say hello. Yes, that can be kind of alpha. Mm-hmm. But the guy who's so confident that he can just say something completely irreverent and absurd, that's really the guy who is the, I don't want to say like the winner, but like that guy, you want to be around that guy. Mm. That guy can command a room, which means he can command his life, which means he can command, you know, his job and, a lovely evening out, you know, all of those things. It's like, you know, of course, the guy who just states his intentions can do that as well. It just doesn't have that twinkle to it. Mm. And like I said, it's like banter is like conversation with a twinkle. Mm-hmm. And girls like sparkles.
Okay. So let's go back to the first part of that question, which was a guy who has no experience with banter, teasing at all, and just thinks of himself as unfunny. How can he, what does he do? Like, how does he actually be funny?
So again, so I like to not use the words be funny, but you can, of course you can use them. That's me just being a little bit of a stickler.
I guess I'm using their parlance is what they'd say, right? How do I make a girl laugh? Or how do I, but how do they start along that path of being better with banter?
So number one, you first start with observations. So just start looking at the world around you. Comedians, the reason they are comedians is because they're hyper vigilant about observing the world around them. And then what they do is they judge that world around them. So they assign meaning to the observation they made. So what you first have to do is you have to start thinking not like a comedian in the sense that I want them to think funny. What I want them to do is I want them to essentially judge, look and judge and assume, make assumptions, get comfortable with your guttural reaction to something. And your guttural reaction to something is something that most people are taught to suppress because we don't want to offend. We want to be polite. You know, we don't want to hurt people's feelings, all these things. So we're taught to keep what is our first real thought down and then say the third thought from there. You know, so there's the first thoughts all the way down in there in the gut. The second one's right above it. It's kind of a little too close. The third one is the acceptable one, is the polite one. So I want them to not be at their third thought of something. I want them to be at their absolute first thought of something. So when I first work with guys, what I have them do is a little bit of an exercise to get comfortable with what they think about things and not hiding it. And then when they're with me, I say, you know, anything goes. Obviously, once you're with a woman or once you're in the real world, you want to refine and have some social intelligence where, you know, you're not saying, you know, awful things or anything, but just get, if you have like junk in there that's perverse or stupid, you know, I am someone you can get it out with, you know? So I like to have them do exercises of just simply what their first thought is. So I'll say something like, what do you think about bowling? And I don't know if you guys bowl. You're in
like
Australia,
like
right?
Bowling kind of thing.
Yeah, 12. I think it's 12. Well, in the States, I think it might be 12, or maybe it is 10 pins. No, it's 10. It's 10.
Whatever
pins,
it is, it's the way you roll the ball
down
10. The alley and it hits the pins.
Right. So in the States, that's like, you know, a thing. People bowl, but there's also a stigma around it because it's usually creepy old dudes who smoke. It's kind of like a little bit trashy. You know, it's so you can have, but there's bowling alleys around. My parents actually met at a bowling alley, but back in the 70s, it was cool to meet in a bowling or cool to hang out in a bowling alley. Things have changed. But anyway, so, you know, if I'm working with a guy from the States, if, you know, I would say, what's your opinion on bowling? And I don't tell them the aim of this yet. I don't give them any hints or clues. I just like to see how they react. So most of the time, I get responses that sound something like, well, I mean, you know, it can be fun, but, you know, if someone asked me to go, I don't know if I would really want to go, but I think I would go, you know, like, and so I've got safe. It right there.
Yeah.
They're just being safe. They're not saying what they really think. So then I say, okay, stop right now. What I want you to tell me is, what is your absolute first thought when it comes to bowling? What comes to your mind immediately when you think of bowling? And, you know, like I just said, it's a little trashy. A guy might go, you know, trailer trash.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not nice, but that's okay. So, and that's why I say, get all this stuff out with me. Because I want you to just start getting comfortable with your first thoughts about something.
Yeah.
And then that's where you'll start to be able to get in touch with what's going to be funny down the road. So you can't be funny until you're really honest with yourself about what you're actually thinking. But then the next step would be to be able to use what you're thinking in a, you know, in a fun way where it's not necessarily mean-spirited, or, you know, and it doesn't always have to be negative. It's just, you know, wrapping it up with a bow a little bit, you know, when you present it to somebody. So, you know, our next step is working on how to do that. And so you're getting closer to what you know your own sense of humor to be.
Yeah.
But then, of course, from there, we have to work on putting it into action and executing it and being in scenarios where something may come up. And now what do we say? You know, so starting at that base level, we start from the guttural reaction and we work our way up to how you make, you know, your correlations and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to now you're talking to a woman. And this is her profile. Now find, I plant things in profiles. I send to guys. I plant things in there that I'm looking for them to play with.
Yeah.
So I see if they can find those things. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you are not going to be the funniest guy in the room, but you're going to be able to say something clever or something witty. And it'll make her smile. And then that smile may carry you for 10 lines, 20 lines until you say something to make her smile again. You know, not everyone has the same level of expectation of humor that I do. You know, so I think I'll end my little rant
and
there.
And that's true. And that's, you know, one of the guys who works for me, one of my coaches is, he is just all on with the banter, right? Like that is, but it's also his personality. He's a bit off the wall as a human being. And that's how he's talking to women. But one of my other coaches, because I'm kind of in the middle of the two, but one of my other coaches is really, he just throws in really great moments that is really funny and unexpected. And the rest is like building rapport or connecting, right? Totally different ways of like different personality, humor profiles, right? I mean, that's it. You don't have to be funny all the time. It's got to match your personality. If you're more like chill and down, you don't have to be the performer.
Right. So both work. Both are accurate.
Yeah. It's like, it's interesting. You know, go on.
I was just going to say, it's almost like getting a pants tailored to fit you.
Yeah.
You know, like you go to a tailor, they're not going to tailor them the exact same way for anyone else because not everyone's body's the same as yours. So if you put in the time at first, it might seem like, oh, I'm just stealing lines that I think maybe someone else would say. But as you get to know yourself, your own colors will shine through and your sense of humor, your voice, your point of view will come through.
Yeah.
And you'll be wearing those nicely tailored pants and then spill spaghetti sauce on them and then have to get a new pair and be like, shit, I have to start over.
I, uh, I find it interesting and actually quite telling that it seems that we have a relatively similar way of trying to get men comfortable with humor and try to get them to think around that. It's interesting that we have come mm-hmm. to the same place, totally different people, backgrounds, whatever.
Right, right.
Which is important. I think it's interesting that that happens. One other thing that I want to add to that, and I'm sure you've seen this, and I always warn men about this, and I think this ties into the feeling like a dancing monkey thing too. When you haven't grown up around it, you don't have the neural pathways in place. And when you don't have the neural pathways in place, it feels like work. Mm-hmm. trying to think about banter is like I'm asking you to solve an equation, a mathematical thing, and you're scratching your head trying to work out how to do it. And it like you're actively working and your body temperature goes up and it feels like going to the gym a little bit. Like it's effort that you don't want to have to bother putting in is how it feels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have the neural pathways. And you only really need to practice the, like, you know, you said with the profiles and thinking about where the moments could be. And if you do that regularly, that's a little bit like practicing, I don't know, tennis, taking a swing over and over and over again. If you just do that like regularly for a couple of weeks, you start to form those pathways in your head and it's not work anymore, right? It's not work for you. Like, I don't consider it work for me to work out how I could banter from what I see here when I'm talking to you. That's not work. It's the pathways are already built. Right.
Well, I'm almost wondering if you've snuck in and listened to one of my banter coaching sessions, because everything you're saying is like, yes, that's exactly right. Or right. That's what I say, or that's what I mm-hmm. teach, or, you know, and, you know, I talk about banter maybe feeling like work, and I kind mm-hmm. of call myself, you know, like I'm the banter coach mm-hmm. and, or, you know, I call myself the banter coach, but I also refer to myself, which is fitting for coach because that's athletics or whatever. But I consider myself, when guys come to me regularly, when we work together regularly, I'm like the banter gym. Because if you go once, yeah. okay, that's fine. You ran on the treadmill yeah. for a little bit and you lifted some weights, but you didn't build muscle memory.
Yes.
So yeah. when you do it over and over, you're building that muscle memory. So mm-hmm. eventually the 50-pound dumbbell won't feel like a 1,000-pound dumbbell. It'll feel mm-hmm. like a 30-pound dumbbell, because now you're right. you're so strong that you've overlifted. Now that 50-pounder or whatever doing American measurements per usual.
Yeah, I gotta come out of my head, like 30 pounds, yeah. what is that, like 17 kilos? Yeah.
So yeah, that would probably be like 75 kilos or something. I don't know. Yeah. But once you do it repetitiously, like you said, it's building the neural pathways, just like I'm saying, it's building the muscle. So you have to work on it. You can't expect to show up to the gym once and be in great shape, just the same way you can't expect to work on banter once and be a great banterer. It takes, it does take work and practice.
Yeah. And but eventually, it won't be fun in the beginning.
No. And the gym is not fun in the beginning.
No.
Like the gym to like put your sneakers on.
Like, yeah, I'm really killing it. Like, you feel good.
Yeah. Once you did it, you're like, oh, I'm so glad I did that. But to get yourself to do it was the hardest part. But the payoff is great, because now you look great in a swimsuit, AKA you look great in a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'll let this be a slightly longer podcast than my normal ones, because I want to ask another one, because it's critical to stand-up comedy, and it's also critical to banter with a woman, which is banter with a woman is flirting with dangers. It was kind of the way I often see it, right? You have to be okay, because the best jokes are the ones that are just risky enough but not offensive. Like, that's where the ones that really hit hard is the ones like, oh my God, but it was okay, but wow. Like, you know what I mean? It's shocking, but I'm laughing. They're the really good ones, right? It's like, oh my God, that happened. They're the really tight ones, right? And one thing I see happen, and you must see as well, is that guys can start to really get banter. And then they'll say to me, look, every time there's a girl I really like, we don't click. And when I watch what's happening, every time there's a girl he really likes, he's not bantering anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because subconsciously he's aware of the risk he's taking by trying to banter and have fun, because he might offend her if he gets it wrong.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Guys are so worried about offending. I hear that basically from almost every single person I work with. They're like, how do I tease without offending?
Yeah.
How do I tease without offending? They're just so scared to offend. And it's kind of sad. I mean,
yeah, go on.
But anyway, go. No, you go. You go, please.
No, I was going to ask you, how do you sort of help guys find that edge, or what's your advice to guys for finding that edge? Because you got to push it. You got to know where it is and spot it and be comfortable with it. But how do you sort of phrase that with guys?
Well, it's kind of a tricky question, because I do, when I work with guys, we're generally starting from the bottom. We're starting from, like, most of the guys that I work with are guys that did not come from a funny family. They're, you know, they're an engineer. They don't even have guy friends that they banter with. So we don't get to that edge that often. So that's actually a little bit of a, not uncharted territory for me, but it's something that I don't get to that often. Right. So I'm a little bit rusty, I guess, in answering that, or in my ability to answer that. But what I would say, you know, because I'm just trying to get guys to just say anything, you know, slightly uncomfortable for them.
Right.
So to push it that far. So really, you have to have social intelligence. So social intelligence, you know, is something that you kind of either have or you don't. And I recommend working on it if you don't have it, which is knowing what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. So you have to use that intelligence, which is instinctive. It's I don't know, maybe societal instinctive. Like, we've put borders on things, and this is where you can go and this is where you can't go. Maybe it's not just a natural instinct. But from just existing within society, you should have a gauge on what's appropriate and what's not. What you need to do after using your social intelligence or using your social intelligence is take into context how the conversation has been going so far, and how has she been responding to my jokes or my witty lines so far? And is she coming back at me with witty lines, or is she, you know, busting my chops? Okay, if she is, she's dishing it out. If you dish it out, you're going to have to be able to take it.
Yeah.
So, like an example, like, this is a little bit like an escalate, like, if to escalate, this is an example I could maybe use. But when we're talking about pushing the boundaries, it could be either like sexual boundaries of, like, you know, I want to say this, but it, and it's bantery, but it might be too sexual, or it could be a boundary of, like, I've teased her, you know, about her, I don't know, like, I, like, for me, I'm very thin. So I have, like, my one, like, a comic friend of mine, he just teases me about being anorexic all the time.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not anorexic. Even if I was, I wouldn't be offended. I don't get offended. But, you know, he can push that because we're buds. But also he takes into context who I am. I'm a comic. I can handle it. Yeah. You know, I think it's like the best compliment ever. If I look like I'm dying, I'm like, oh, I've never felt so good about myself. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to know who you're talking to, but pay attention to what cues you've been given so far. And if you've been given the green light, essentially, on all of the lines that you've had up until this point, and there's flirtation happening, and you know it's flirtation because she's making, you know, the right eye contact, or pulling her eyes away because she's getting a little bit, you know, shy because she's attracted to you, and she's getting a little, like, uncomfortable, where, you know, playing with her hair a little bit. Then you can go for that thing that's more escalated. So, for example, like, if a guy had a really dirty, like my ex-boyfriend, I'm kind of using this as an example, because my ex-boyfriend had, he was so messy, and it was just, I couldn't, like, it was, he was so messy that I had to kind of run away. I couldn't handle it. But I basically would say to him, like, I have to wear a hazmat suit, you know, to your house. And he could then escalate it with like, oh yeah, like the hazmat suit that looks better on the floor than on a hanger or something like, you know, to that extent. It's a little cheesy, but that's an, so like, he doesn't have to be my boyfriend to say that.
Yeah.
He would have to be a guy that's having a really good rapport with a girl for him to be able to say something like that. So you just have to pay attention to what you've gotten so far and then use your creativity just the way we did with, you know, making those connections and correlations. That's exactly how you escalate sexually as well. You connect and correlate. You know, you correlate, you know, I don't know, like, I don't know, something, I'm trying to think of something that's not a cheesy example. But if you're at dinner and, you know, she has, a, you know, a certain amount of spaghetti left on her plate. I'm just saying that because I have spaghetti next to me. Equate that to something like sexual in a way. Obviously, spaghetti is not sexual, but correlate it to something that could be like, like your twist. Like, I'd love to twist you the way you, you've twisted that that pasta, you know, like it's just, again, that's a little cheesy, but it's correlating one thing with where you want to go. So where I want to go there is getting sexual. So if you're at that point and you're getting all the cues, think of what's around you, just like you would before with any sort of normal banter, with your kind of everyday banter and flirtatious banter, without it being sexual. And if you want to make it sexual or bring it to that edge, make those correlations between, like, you know, this twisting of the spaghetti to twisting of bodies. It's literally just connecting. Like, I want to be wrapped around you the way that fork is wrapped around your food, whatever. It's literally just connecting, making a simple connection. And they're there. They're like waiting for you. Those connections, they exist. They're like in the atmosphere. They're they're just waiting for you to grab onto them and use them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I hope that answered your question.
I mean, but it is. I mean, even where you went, it is everywhere. That's what I'm constantly trying to hammer into guys. There is always a spot. There is always something that comes up. There's so many opportunities.
They're just so in their head that they can't spot the opportunity. Correct. You know, getting out of your head is a huge piece of a huge component to being successful at banter. And so that comes with practice and confidence and, you know, all of that.
And I think also, I think it is important that guys need to be okay when they're learning the banter stuff. They need to be okay crossing the line by accident. You can't be too shy about it. Like, you're better off accidentally losing some women along the way. Like you know, approaches. If you're approaching someone, you're better off losing some along the way because you push it too far. Then you're too cautious. You know, because then you learn. You know, like if you ask a woman, "What do you do for work?" and she says, "I'm a lawyer," and you're like, "Ah, oh, that's okay. Nobody's perfect, right?" That can work. But if you talk to a girl and you're like, "What do you do for work?" and she's like, "I'm a receptionist," you're like, "Oh, okay, that no one's perfect." Now it becomes offensive, right? But knowing the difference between the two can sometimes be that you actually have to use it. You know what I mean? And accidentally make that mistake and work out, okay, I can only use that line when it's a good thing, not when it, like, you know what I mean? When it's over the top, obviously good.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I call teasing to the opposite.
Yeah.
In a sense. Like you're going, you know, if you're, I call it teasing to the opposite or teasing to the extreme. But I think this here would be more appropriate to say to the opposite. So, you know, it's the idea of, this is in the most simple terms. It's what you just did. But it's, you know, if someone's a little overweight, if a girl's got a little extra something, you know, you don't tease about weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you just, that's just common knowledge. That's what I mean by social intelligence. That's just stuff that you should know, but sometimes you may not know. And you know, and people are different. Maybe she's certain women don't have as good of a sense of humor, so they may get offended at something that another woman wouldn't get offended at. So don't let one woman being offended. You want to learn from it if she's correctly offended, but you also, if she's incorrectly offended, you don't want to get scared away from it.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
You know, and that it's tricky. It's, you know, you got to kind of learn that on your own, but it is a trial and error thing and figuring out, wait, was she right or was I right? No, that was right. Like I said something funny. She was just uptight. You know, like you do have to kind of work it out.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, okay. If guys want to work with you, Kristen, or if they want to, you know, get some, they like the idea of this banter coaching, they like going to the banter gym, how would they find you? How would they kind of look you up?
So my website is called kristenandchill.com, and it's K-R-I-S-T-E-N. And, you know, it's obviously a playoff of Netflix and chill. So anything, any service I offer is right there on my website. You can click and buy, and I get a notification, and then I email you once I get the notification saying, hey, cool, I see you want to work on, you know, your banter for, you know, three sessions. Great. This is how we're going to start. Or they can email me if they're not sure, because I do also do coaching just in general, like, you know, mock dates, you know, over Zoom, things like that. I do email coaching. I also make over dating profiles. And I'm like a killer at the dating profiles. And I hate to even say it because I hate making them. Like I'm like, I wish I could quit my job whenever I have to make over a profile. I just want to quit. Like I want to tell the boss I quit, but I'm the boss and I can't quit. But the reason they're good is because I take a lot of time to really get to know the person. And I put a lot of energy into making sure their profile is them, but fun and clever and jumps off the page. Meanwhile, also getting them great photos. And I do some subtle editing so that, you know, I show guys at their best. So if they're not really sure where to start, they can always email me at Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, at kristenandchill.com. Otherwise, just feel free to go ahead and make a selection on my site. And then I hit you up and be like, hey, let's do this.
Perfect. Awesome.
Yes.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Kristen. I know when you interviewed me before, I was on your and Marnie's podcast. So thanks a lot for coming onto mine. It's definitely something that I've wanted to talk to someone about with the banter for a long time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm so glad we connected. And Marnie doesn't care if I talk shit about her. I'm really glad she wasn't on that show with us, because I felt like it was just the right thing for just us to have the conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we hit on so many good things and you had so many great insights. And really impressed me and made me a little bit jealous at the same time. But yeah, that was a great episode. Yeah. So if anyone wants to listen to it, it's the Ask Women podcast.
Yeah, so, check that out as well. Perfect. Yeah. Thanks so much, Kristen. Cheers.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed yourself. Don't forget to check us out at schoolofattraction.com. I highly recommend you check out my comprehensive and free dating personality test, which you can find by clicking personality test at the top of the page. Thanks again for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in my next podcast.